This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, bringing down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. Thank you for being here. How did we make it through the eclipse? It's over. It happened. I got to tell you, I was an eclipse hater at the beginning. I wasn't in it. I don't want to say I didn't really understand, because it's not rocket science. I mean, it is a major solar event, which makes it cool. But don't you remember there was an eclipse in like 2017, and it was like not that cool in my personal opinion, where I was in the world. You know, it was only halfway through. It lasted like 5 seconds. I was like, what? So I wasn't into it at first, but boy, was I proven wrong. It was honestly one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I was in the direct path. Cleveland got totality. Also, I don't know about you, but I've been hearing all these words that I've never heard before in my entire life, or at least I've heard them. I've never used them. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to get another review where somebody calls me stupid. But it's like, how many times in my life have I said, oh yeah, we're in the line of totality? Never. But now all of a sudden, I'm taking an internship at NASA Glenn. Like, that's what it feels like after being in the eclipse this week, after I actually saw it. But like I said, Cleveland was in totality and it was freaking cool. David and I were sitting out there like 75-year-old retired grandma and grandpas in our lawn chairs in our yard. And I just said, like, you know, we're going to get deep. Are you ready to go deep? We're going to go deep. I said to David, you know, we like really just run ourselves into the ground trying to make something out of this life, you know, trying to live it to the fullest or be successful or be the best, you know, whatever. And like, we're a piece of freaking dust on this earth. Like, I remember looking up at that total eclipse, just thinking like, wow, I'm a piece of dust on this earth. Truly, truly. So if you ever feel overwhelmed, that's going to be the new motto. Just tell yourself, you're just a piece of dust, man. Like, yes, you matter. Don't get it twisted. Like, you matter in this world, but also, like, not a lot. It sounds horrible, but when you really sit down and think about it, it is what it is. You know, before we get into the pop three, I just want to say I am suffering from a little bit of fatigue. Two fatigues that is fatiguing me. One, honest to goodness, it's the younger, I'm using air quotes, younger shows that we're watching. I'm a little fatigued by Vanderpump Rules. I'm a little fatigued by The Valley. I think it's because, you know, the only Housewives fix that we have right now is Potomac. And I got to be honest with you, this season I bailed halfway through. I'm not going to pretend like I like a show when I don't. And this season of Potomac was not easy to watch. Historically, fantastic franchise city, but this season not so much. So I'm just like, how many times can I talk about Lala being so annoying, which we'll talk about later, but how many times can I talk about Jax and Brittany and their comeback? Like, I'm over it. I mean, thankfully Summer House is at least enjoyable, but I'm a little fatigued. I'm fatigued about that. I'm suffering from JoJo Siwa fatigue. Why is it that every time I open any social media app of mine, I see JoJo Siwa? Like, whether she's dancing in a club, whether she is talking through like dangly beads to Alex Cooper, I don't even know what that hat was, whether she's in these big CeeLo Green CeeLo Green style glasses. Why is she all over my For You page? I don't understand it. Like, I've had more JoJo Siwa content on my feed in 1 week than I, like I could go my entire life without seeing this much JoJo Siwa content. I don't understand it. So I'm in rare form, you know, popped on right before here. We got the announcement that BravoCon is taking 2024 off. Unpopular opinion right here. Good. Good. Because it runs me freaking dry to go to BravoCon every single year. I mean, last year, $5,000 easily between the tickets and the flights and the hotels and the food while you're there. And it's like one of those things where if you're a Bravo content creator and you're not there, you really are dust. You're the dust of the earth. If you're a content creator and you're not at BravoCon, that's what it feels like anyways. So I'm not entirely mad about it. Come here, honey.
Every single day, I went down to the Starbucks in the lobby of the hotel we were staying in, and it cost me $40 to get 2 cups of coffee and 2 bagels.
So I told them, $5,000.
If they're going to do BravoCon again, they got to do it in like Ohio or something.
Well, that's not happening. It's going to be in Vegas, but 2025, so we can save some money.
Yeah, start saving.
Okay. Wow. What a fun little moment that was.
I heard you. I had to say
something. Bye. Perks of working from home. Perks of having a married couple both working from home. David could probably hear everything I say on the side of that wall. But anyways, yeah. So we're excited to save money. I mean, we are planning a wedding after all. That's in 2 months. Don't get me started. That is a rant for another day. Wow, 6 minutes. Every single week, this top of the show rant just gets longer and longer. Maybe I need to start like a little spinoff show. Wink, wink. Anyways, let's move on to our pop three. These are the three biggest headlines in reality TV and pop culture. Let's start with Lala Kent. Shocker that we're talking about Lala again. Over the past week, she did a lot of press. And one thing in particular that's making its rounds is saying that Ariana never has had a storyline. So she was on Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, and she said, or actually, I don't know if this was Heather's, I think it was Heather's episode, but she's been talking about it every single time I see Lala, she's talking about Ariana, whether it's on her podcast or somebody else's. But she said going into this year, she was concerned that the main storyline was Tom and Ariana because Ariana has never done anything on the show. She goes, yeah, I'm concerned because Ariana just whatever. But like, bingo, there you have it. What have I been trying to tell you? What have I been trying to tell you? That there are three cast members that really care about the longevity of the show and are doing too much to ensure another season, and it's totally backfiring. Who is it? Sheena, Lala, and Tom Sandoval. I've been telling you guys this since the Schwartz and Raquel kiss last season, that this is what this whole thing is about. Here is what Lala is missing this season, though. The audience typically hates when a cast member tries to play producer. And she's being very transparent about it. It's giving Lisa Rinna hater energy, and she can call it being soft, but it's not being soft. It's being a pawn. She is being a production pawn at this moment, and she can criticize Ariana all day long, which it seems like that's all she does. But what I care about when I'm watching a reality TV show is people who are being authentic in their real emotions in real time. And Lala trying to overproduce the season because she thinks Ariana has never contributed to the show and she's concerned about Ariana being the main storyline, it comes across as fake. F-A-K-E. It's giving fake. I mean, do you think she really, really deep down cares about going to get a hot dog with Joe? Be serious. Why did she go get a hot dog with Joe? Because production told her to, and she's worried that Ariana doesn't care enough about the show to have a storyline. But it's not hitting. It's annoying. It's annoying. There's a fine line. There's a very fine line between being a good reality star and being annoying. In my personal opinion right now, Lala's being super annoying. And it just is what it is. She's hinting that something at the reunion is fraudulent. She's insinuating that it's about something about her. And also, She says, people say things off camera and not on camera. Now, Ariana's not immune to this. You know, I don't think in the past that she's necessarily been completely honest about her relationship with Tom. I do think that they wanted to hide certain things from the cameras, which I understand to a certain effect or a certain extent. But you can't hide it so much that it's completely fake. You know, like, it's one thing if you are getting ready to sign the divorce papers, but you're not ready to, you know, come out and tell everybody yet and pretending like you're the happiest couple on earth. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of area in between that you could give us some insight, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there if something does come out at the reunion. But in the meantime, Lala's doing too much and she's not making any sense while she's doing it. And it just is weird. It's weird and I don't like it. I will take Ariana's real emotion of her being mad, upset, whatever, 10 times out of 10 over Lala going to get a hot dog with Joe. She doesn't want to go get a hot dog with Joe. Stop acting like you do. The only other part of this last episode of Vanderpump Rules that I found remotely interesting was Schwartz and Joe breaking up. Why? Why? Because it's real. You can tell what's real and what's not real. In my personal opinion, I think that the Schwartz Tori Katie thing is not all that real. I just don't. There's a million fish in the sea and you guys all decide to go for the same one who also just got mic'd up to be on Vanderpump Rules. Stop. Stop. Anyways, wow. Feeling feisty. Let's move. Today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally starting to get warmer. You want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. On to headline number two, there is some more drama in the Cyrus family. So I talked about this a lot on the Patreon, on the Celebs Patreon. So if you're not there, subscribe to it or to the Love You Like Assist tier. You'll get the Celebs tier as well. There's a lot of backstory when it comes to the Cyrus family drama, how it started with Billy Ray and Miley, how now it has moved to Noah and Tish, and now it has moved to Noah and Miley, who are sisters. So over earlier this week, Liam Hemsworth, who, you know, Miley Cyrus, on again, off again, dating, broke up, married, divorced. Noah liked a Liam Hemsworth thirst trap. And the internet went wild, right? Everyone was like, oh my God, what? She quickly unliked it. And then the next day she posted something on her Instagram story and also deleted it. But this is what it said. There's no greater joy than seeing y'all get so angry over the dumbest bleep. It's so entertaining and funny. Who gives a frick is what she said. She didn't say that, but you guys get it. I agree with her that it is the dumbest crap. Like, it is the dumbest stuff. And we're not angry. I wasn't angry. I think some people maybe were because, like, sister code, girl code, whatever. To me, it's like just entertainment, which might be messed up, but it is what it is. But I also just think, all things considered, right? Like, considering the fact that your sister and your dad had a falling out, considering the fact that you and your mom had a falling out because she's now married to a guy that you dated, and now this, it's like, what did you expect was going to happen? You know, like, typically people have reactions on the internet anyways when it comes to celebrities, but the fact that the Cyrus family has been in the headlines and flashing lights for the past, honestly, like 2 months, when were the Grammys? February? 2 months, like, it was bound to happen. So I don't really understand her dismay. I mean, I understand it, but it comes with the territory, I guess. Okay, last but certainly not least is Hilaria Baldwin joining The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I blame Kyle Richards for this entirely. Kyle said somewhere, probably on an Amazon Live, that she would like to see Hilaria Baldwin on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. According to In Touch, Hilaria recently met with execs from Bravo, and the possibility of joining The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is on the table. So an insider claimed to the publication that she's afraid of losing the attention she is used to if her husband, Alec Baldwin, goes to prison. Bravo does love a criminal charge. So if they're going to put Hilaria Baldwin on the show, they should probably do it now while her husband is in the middle of a major legal battle because of what happened on his movie set, Rust, where somebody died, right? Like, that has been an ongoing situation for the past couple of years. So regarding the possibility of her joining the show, the source said this would be the perfect fit. Also saying she would be good for the show because she has experience, quote, manipulating reality, is one way to put it. I would need to do like a proper deep dive to give you all of the 100% accurate information. But in case you don't know about Hilaria Baldwin potentially manipulating reality, you know, some people think that her Spanish accent is fake or exaggerated and that she's not Hilaria, but her name is really Hillary and that she grew up in Boston. That's a wormhole for another day. But like, for as much as you hear the headline, Hilaria Baldwin joining The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and you have a mini panic attack, like, it has the potential to make for some really great reality TV if she wants to be the one to throw herself under the bus.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
All right, you guys, for the deep dive this week, I am so happy to have a guest with me. She was one of my favorites from Love is Blind, and I feel like the reunion didn't do her justice. And we've been trying to plan this for a while, and finally, all of the stars aligned. So please welcome to the pod from Love is Blind, Brittany Mills. Finally, Brittany Mills is on MPT. How are you?
I am good. How are you? I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm good. Brittany and I have been back and forth in the DMs. I feel like since the reunion.
Honestly, since the reunion. And I have felt, so I'm like, okay, there's some way, shape, or form we're going to work this out. Yeah. And finally, by the grace of God, we did.
Literally, I feel like my life has been so hectic. I've been moving and planning a wedding and doing all of these things. And you know what really messed up my whole recording schedule with all my Love is Blind peeps is that they didn't release the reunion until 9 o'clock on that Wednesday. And it really messed me up.
Yeah, no, the 9 o'clock release time was intense. We had a watch party. All my friends were over here and I was sitting there and I was like, I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I have work tomorrow. Like, why is this so late?
Did you have anxiety that day or did you kind of feel like you knew you were not in the hot seat at all? I feel like having to wait until 9 o'clock would be very anxiety inducing.
Yeah. So as far as like my anxiety goes for the show, honestly, leading up to it, of course, everyone's like, okay, you're about to be on reality TV. Like, how in the world am I going to be portrayed? Mm-hmm. What's going to be shown? Because we see everything the time that the whole entire audience sees it. So we have nothing that like we've pre-seen or anything like that. And so being there, I was like, okay, I mean, I did this, I did that, like this happened, but like nothing that I was ever like, oh, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, like nothing ever questionable. And so I felt pretty confident. I was like, whatever's shown, like I'm okay with, because like that's me. I mean, I can't sugarcoat anything. Not really good at doing all that. So I'm like, yep, what you got is me.
Well, we'll dive into this season in a bit, but I want to ask, how is your life now, post-show? What are the big differences?
My life now is very hectic, honestly, but in the best way. Mm-hmm. I am a very type A type of individual anyways. I always like to have something on my books, on my calendar. As you know, I have my own podcast with my co-host, Mandy, Empowered. So we're doing that. I also have Beauty by B, which is my hair and makeup services for pageants, proms, weddings, photo shoots, runways. So like that's got me booked up. I also work a corporate job from 8 to 5 every day. And then I also help one of my other business partners run his business, and he does makeup. So it's like, I'm definitely pulled in many different directions, but I enjoy it. It's, you know, I feel accomplished, making sure that I'm taking care of everything, and, you know, getting things done is like my bread and butter. But I would definitely say very hectic.
Yeah. Well, it sounds a little hectic.
I also try to like capitalize on every opportunity. I'm like, well, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss that.
Right.
And so that's like really gotten me like honed in on everything. But I have to remind myself, I'm like, Brittany, everybody's timeline looks different. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean that it's not coming for you too. Like everything's going to work out, but definitely trying to chase all the big things and get everything under control. So that's where I'm at right now.
Have you dated post-show?
I have not dated post-show, which is crazy to think about. A lot of people keep asking me, they're like, are you single? Are you dating? I have my eyes on someone.
Oh!
But I, you know, like definitely trying to work out this like new way of life. I said, I'm busy. I don't have time to like weed everything out and try to make things work. I'm just like, look, it's got to be what it is.
Right. life in general is all about timing. And it's like, even if you desperately want something to happen in this moment, if it's not the right time for it, it's not the right time for it. Does the person know that you like them?
Yes, they do. They do.
Okay, so can we say we're in the talking stage? Like,
yeah, I would say, I guess. We'll say we're in the talking stage. Yes, we can certainly agree on that.
And how does he feel about reality TV?
Supportive, honestly. Supportive, and it's a part of me. And I'm like, well, if you don't like it, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, definitely supportive. And, you know, wanting me to achieve all of my goals and everything, and, you know, really excel at life. So that's the goal that I'm on. And I'm like, hey, like, if you want to be on this journey with me, like, by all means, come on. But I can't have you behind me. That's the thing. I need you like right here.
Right. Exactly. Has the show changed the way that you go about dating, that you think about dating? Has it changed anything in this? I mean, I know you're not officially in a relationship, but, you know, in the early stages of
right.
one.
Honestly, Morgan, the thing is about me and dating is I've never been like a really big dater, you know,
yeah.
Like I've never had the dating apps, like all that good stuff. And so the thing about it is it's like dating is new to me in general, whether I went on the show or not. And mm-hmm. so I think that it definitely makes a transition of like, okay, what is like, what do you do? What is your life like, you know, and stuff like that? Because it's like, well, yeah, I was on a TV show and I'm going to be walking here and people are going to be like, are you that person? And I'm going to be like, yeah.
Right.
Are you okay with that stuff? Like, is that all right with you? Like lifestyle and all of that. So I think it makes a change there. But also coming from the show, like I've said in many interviews, I have just felt confident in myself and confident in what I want and what I need. And I think that that's made a transition for me to be able to go to the person that I am dating. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not accepting anything of less than my standards. And so that is very helpful. And that I'm appreciative of for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, something that you said on the reunion that now obviously we have to talk about is, you know, you and Kenneth still had a very close relationship, but there was all of these question marks around what that would look like when you guys both moved on and started dating other people.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at right now? Have you had the talk? Are you a little less close? What does that look like?
The thing is, it's like, I definitely, so we've remained friends this whole time. And like at the reunion, like talking about, okay, like, you know, we had conversations of when we date other people and we've had that conversation one-on-one. It's definitely just like from a level of respect aspect of things. We're always going to be close, I think. And, you know, being able to pick up the phone, like, hey, just making sure you're all right, making sure things are well, definitely wishing him the best. And I definitely feel that he supports me in all of life's endeavors as well. But I think that, you know, when it does come to dating, like officially and like really getting serious with someone else, it's more of like having that conversation as to when it happens of like just wanting to let you know, I don't want you to like, I guess probably scroll on Instagram, like that be your first way of knowing.
Right, right.
More so of just having that conversation of like, hey, like this is where I'm at. Where are you at? You know, so just kind of like a check-in point, really.
How do you think you'll feel when he starts to date somebody else?
Honestly, I'll feel like proud. I know that's crazy and not anybody really expects, like, I'm never going to be the person like, oh yeah, I'm going to be sad. No, like he deserves someone who loves him like through and through. And he deserves like a happy marriage and like a happy relationship. Honestly, I'll be proud of him because like we've even talked about, we're like, okay, well, how can I improve in like my next relationship? Like, what could I do better? How can I be, you know, a better woman? How can I be a better man? And I think, you know, we were able to both take our constructive feedback and make those changes and like also keep them in our mind of like, hey, this is how we should approach our next relationship. And so honestly, being able to see him do those things with someone, yeah, I'd be like really proud of him for sure.
Well, while we're on the topic of Kenneth, and I have a lot of other things that I want to talk about, so we won't talk about him forever. But, you know, I would say a criticism from the audience was that your guys' breakup, in my opinion, got really skimmed over. Yeah. We didn't really get a lot of context. And then, you know, we see all the interview clips of Jess kind of saying, you know, that there was more to meets the eye to that. Can you just once and for all clarify what happened before you guys had that conversation?
Absolutely. So me and Kenneth's conversation in the kitchen about our breakup and, you know, when the breakup was happening was the very first time that we had ever talked about it. It is very confusing. A lot of people have been like, yeah, they had conversations prior. They had to have yada, yada. And like, just to really put out there, like, no one, and I said this in my podcast too, like no one is supposed to come for Jess. She did exactly what she was like in her heart felt like there's no bad water, there's no bad blood. Like it was not like, oh, well, you, none of it. Like
right.
She was doing absolutely everything that was perfect in everything that she is. And so let me make that announcement before people go crazy. But the thing is like, she knew that I was feeling a certain type of way. So the thing about that is our kitchen conversation absolutely was the first time that it had ever taken place with, you know, about our breakup. Kenneth came home from work that night and I was there and I had had like a really hectic day. Honestly, I had had work all day and those thoughts were just like weighing on me. And I was like, if I don't say it now, I just don't know when it's going to come out and it just got to. And so it was very abrupt, I would say, a word to describe it for sure. And it definitely took Kenneth like kind of by surprise and it caught him off guard. And I believe that that had a lot to do with his response and with his reaction. He is very, very much so a, you know, let me think before I speak type of man rather than the retaliation or very reactive. And so with him like pulling back, It's definitely like his way of handling things. Now, maybe not everybody agrees with that, and to each their own, but it was the time that he needed to really process like everything that I had told him, because like I said, this was completely by surprise and he was taken back from it. So yes, that was our very first conversation about the breakup. And then after that, we did have a conversation about like where we stood. It was actually, I want to say probably 2 days later, we had a beautiful conversation. And we talked about, you know, like we're going to remain friends. We were in this together. We're still in this together. It's going to come out a year from now. And you know, all this is going to be resurfaced. We're not in this alone. And he looked at me, he was like, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Like, you're going to be in my life of some way, shape, or form. And I was like, all right, period. So, that's just where we ended, but it did. It very much so, the whole breakup, it seemed as though a lot of people questioned like, oh, you know, did y'all have a conversation prior? Like, he definitely like threw the towel in, things of that nature. But I took him by surprise, but also too, I was like, I have to get this out because I was never going to let our relationship go all the way down to the end, knowing that I wasn't fully committed and like 10 toes down.
So. Yeah. Do you think the presence of cameras also was a contributing factor to the way that he maybe reacted?
The cameras definitely contributed to Kenneth's demeanors, mannerisms, actions, the whole nine. Everyone thinks that he is this extrovert and, you know, out there 24/7 in front of people. You know, he's a principal, he's in front of his kids, he's talking in front of leadership, all of that. And while, yes, he very much so does that, he does that within his safe place.
Right.
And his safe place is his school, with his leadership, with his kids, with his parents, in his school. When you take that out, or take him out of his safe place, and you have him with cameras around 24/7, questions, interviews, all that, he actually doesn't, he's not in his safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Me, on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, camera's there. I'm like, whatever. I could talk to a wall, literally, like I did. And I'm like, it's whatever. And it doesn't bug me. But as far as him, like, he's very much so an introvert and like has to have the space and the time in order to just like step back, take a second, and deal with his emotions on his own. And so the cameras, I think, definitely had something to do with like him just seeming uninterested, maybe. Because honest to God, he was just tired of being filmed 24/7. So I was, yeah. And he would always compliment me. He'd be like, you were made for this. Like, you were made for this. And he's like, you are constantly on. And I'm like, well, I guess just crazy. I don't know.
Well, it's like one thing too to be overwhelmed by the whole experience. I mean, it is like a pressure cooker, right? It's totally not a normal experience. And then to have, you know, the presence of cameras, not only the awkwardness of it, but then the thought in the back of your mind of, oh, this is going to play out for millions of people to see, you know, you have to be very careful with what you put out there, you know, especially you two, talking so much about your faith too, being a good representation of that. I can imagine that had to weigh heavy on you guys as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is that he constantly would talk about like, I have my kids watching this.
Right.
I have my kids watching this. And I was like, and I had to reassure him. I'm like, let me just let you know, you're not doing anything that your children and your students would question your integrity and would question like who you are as a man. Moving like, and I had to let him know, like, Kenneth, you're great. You're a great man. Like, you stand up for what you believe in. You lead by example. And because he was constantly thinking about that. And just like any other human, when you're constantly filling your brain with questions and concerns and like making sure that you're not saying the wrong thing, not that he would ever, but you know, you're timid. And it's, that shows, and that started to come out more and more and more. And I was like, if you could just relax, like take a step back, just relax, like everything's all right. So yeah, I definitely think that had a lot to do with it. And then of course, like our faith, now that, I mean, we spoke strongly about through and through. Actually wish that there were more scenes where we were talking about it in the pods, because there was like beautiful moments, but that was something that we felt very confident about and didn't mind sharing with the whole world, which is crazy.
Looking back, you know, because I very much so can relate to you and Kenneth, pastor's daughter. I know what it's like to be dating and to find somebody who has the same faith as you. Like, I remember back in my youth group days, I would only like the boys that went to my youth group because I'm like, they love God, you know? And it's like one of those things where, looking back, do you think that, not that it clouded your judgment, but that, you know, because we saw too, you dated Jimmy, which we have a million question marks around that. But do you think it swayed you more into his direction? Because it's hard to come by those type of people, especially in an environment like this.
1,010%, honestly. Yeah. I remember there was an interview that I did on the show. And I was like, you know, I have always went for what I wanted. I've never went for like what God puts in front of me, like what I need. And I was like, I cannot pass this up. Like, there's no way. Like, God is literally about to hit me in the face and be like, if you don't get it together. And so, yeah, him and how big and strong his faith was definitely had, you know, a persuasion in my decision making in the best way possible. In the best way possible. But it's because I was able to feel so confident in how is he going to respond in, you know, arguments? Mm-hmm. How is he going to respond when, you know, I'm falling apart? And is he going to say, like, suck it up? Or is he going to lead me into prayer and, like, lead me into God and be like, okay, you know, God's timing and God's way and all of that. And so those things are like playing in my head while I'm in the pods, and I'm like, okay, check, check,
right.
Check, check. And it's all referring back to like his faith and how, you know, I can feel that and I can sense that and I can hear that. So yeah, it did play a big role for sure, but I'm thankful for that. Like, God put Kenneth in my life and each other's lives for a true, true reason. And I believe that till I will be blue in the face. I will die on that hill for sure. But yeah, I learned quite a lot.
You dated Jimmy.
I did. Girl, I did. I sure did. Let's talk about it.
Okay, what drew you? Was Jimmy like the hot? He had to have been the hot commodity. It feels like everyone dated Jimmy.
And but like I remember one day Jimmy came into the pods and he's like, you know, in his country accent, he's like, Brittany, apparently you're just the, what did he say? He was like, you're Miss Hot Commodity. And I was like, don't say that to me. And I got offended because, like, I just told you, I was like, I don't date. Like, I don't date. I'm not for everybody. Like, it's not like pick me, no, available. No, no. So then he called me hot commodity. And I was like, no, don't say that to me. I was like, no, I'm not. And he was like, well, apparently you are. And I was like, okay, well, let's move on. But yeah, I dated Jimmy. And I don't know. I think it was just because we talked. And that's the thing. We talked so much about, like, my family and how he would fit in. And, like, because I grew up, like, very country-esque. And mm-hmm. my country side of the family would be like, absolutely not. But, like, riding four-wheelers, like, all of that stuff. And, I mean, I grew up, like, getting chicken eggs out of the thing, whatever, when I was younger. And so it was just like, okay, like, you're saying the same things. We talked about, like, what we did, like, growing up in our childhood of, like, going on beach vacations. Like, it was very just, like, wholesome, and we had a lot to relate on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's truly what, like, pulled me in there. Just because it felt not familiar, but, like, very, like,
comforting.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I was, like, really, really pulled towards Jimmy, because I was like, okay, this feels like home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's
how long did that last?
That lasted until the day before all of the Jess and Chelsea stuff happened.
Okay. So you you were already removed from it by that point.
The day before, yeah, I guess.
So not really, but I mean, on a technicality, yes. But
I mean, he was making his cuts, and I was like, all right, yeah, you do that. And then finally, it's crazy because right after that, it was such a blessing. And like, even you can ask like Mackenzie, I literally went straight to Mackenzie and Jess, and I was like, y'all, like, I'm crying, but like, it's good. Like, I'm sad, but like also too, I'm like, wait, no, this is supposed to happen. Like, right. This is exactly what's supposed to happen. And I remember like girls were looking at me. They were like, wait, what's going on? And I was like, I'm not sad. I promise. I was like, I'm okay. And I think it was just more so like, I was anticipating it, but then I wasn't. It was super weird. It was weird. Yeah. But it was like, I wasn't sad, and I was like, wait, this is supposed to happen. Now I know, because I had been asking for like a sign. I'm like, okay, like, show me what direction I need to go. Mm-hmm. Because at this point, God, like, I'm sitting like this. Like, what do I do? And so that was my sign. And I was like, okay, well, my decision's been made for me. And on we went.
So he ended things with you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. Yeah. He was very much so like, and he even told me, he was like, I want a best friend and a wife, but like, I didn't come here just to find just a best friend.
That's
like,
true.
I came here to find my wife. And he was like, we connect on so much, like everything's so familiar. Everything just like feels like you're my best friend, but mm-hmm. like, I have to have like more than that. And I was like, no, that makes complete sense. So that's how that went down.
So what's your opinion on how that all went down then? That triangle.
Lord. I mean,
happy it wasn't you.
Am I happy? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a mess. But like, I don't know. And I don't think like he's a bad person. You know, I think Chelsea, I think Jess, I mean, they're just angels walking this earth. And so I know why Jimmy felt for the both of them. They both carry such good qualities as women. And I don't blame them. Like, I really mm-hmm. don't. But also, too, on the other hand, clearly I know why Jess and Chelsea fell for Jimmy. And so he, too, has good qualities. But I think that, you know, maybe a sense of direction could have offered him a better process. Mm-hmm. And him knowing, like, okay, what way to go. Do I think that, like, him and Jess would have made it out of the pods, like, or out of the marriage? No. They're different people, really. And so it's, you know, everything happens for a reason, and it all plays out the exact way it's supposed to. But to say that I am thankful, yes, I'm thankful to not be in that triangle.
I can imagine. But I'm just, like, also remembering things. So you talked to Jimmy. He had that love triangle. And then after the show got done airing, he said he wanted to shoot his shot with AD.
I saw that.
What is this about?
I saw that. Like I said, he's not a bad person. He just needs a sense of direction.
Yeah, clearly.
he's a pinball. I'm like, I need you, like, right here. So, yeah, I noticed that. And I know AD, she was like, I'm sorry, do what? But, I mean, you know what? I'm never going to stray someone away from shooting their shot. If you are confident, sir, you shoot your shot. You do your thing. Now, are you going to get shot down?
Right. Maybe.
That's between you and God, not between me and you, baby. Not between you.
How often do you see the people that you filmed with? Because this is the thing. The thing I think is so great about Love is Blind that The Bachelor could really take a page out of.
Amen.
Is that you guys are all in the same city. You're all in the same age group. You have to run around in the same social circles. So what is that like now?
So I barely go out. In fact, I don't know. You'll probably see like on Instagram, Amy, Johnny, Laura, and I all went to the Charlotte FC game. That was mm-hmm. like the first time that I'd ever been out like in public with other crew members or other cast members. And I was like, oh my, I was like, I'm really outside. Like, I'm outside. And I was like, what am I doing? No, I need to go home. I need to go work. Cause that's all I do. That's all I seem can ever do. Now, granted, have I seen Laura, Jess, and Mackenzie? 1,000%. Like, we like to stay inside, and we like to say we waddle and coddle. And, like, just inside, you know, glass of wine, hanging out. I went to Autumn's birthday recently, Jess's daughter. And so we're trying to plan a trip very soon. But those are my people. And we actually were texting earlier today, and that's something that it's for life. I couldn't imagine life without those three now. And definitely like a God-given gift of, you know, just good, wholesome people. Now being out in public, when the four of us go out in public and like actually go out and like go to dinner and like maybe somewhere after, I could only imagine. I can only imagine.
I mean, I don't want to say it's interesting or funny. It's right that you say that because I had Laura on 2 weeks ago and she said the same thing. And I said to her, you know, sometimes, you know, romantically, it might not have worked out, but the show led you to another type of soulmate. And that is with these girlfriends.
100%. 100%. Like I can go to them with anything and everything. And it just also too, I was telling someone the other day of with this show, no one understands exactly what we did. You know, you can ask questions, you can be like, okay, on this day, this happens, or on that day, that happens. And you can try to find so many minute details, but until you're actually there and like went through the process through and through, sun up to sundown, like no one will truly ever understand except for our people.
Right.
And being able, it's almost like we're in our own little world. Like you have a sense of something that no one else has experienced except for all the other five seasons. But compare that to the whole entire world. That's so vastly small. And so it's like you cherish those people that you went through the process with because they're seeing you at your most vulnerable state. Absolutely most vulnerable state. And so that's something special. I'm happy to have my people.
I have one last potentially shady question before letting you go.
I've been dying
to know the answer to this question.
Yes.
Because like I said, you guys all live in the same city and I know that you and your girlfriends talk. So have there been any post-show hookups within the cast?
Oh, post-show hookups. Well, let me tell you, not with Miss Mills. Not with Miss Mills. As far as I know, no. But have people been hanging out? 100%. But as far as I know, no.
Who's hanging out?
But also too. I feel like people can put like two and two together. Like, oh, okay. Well, they were hanging out, and then they were hanging out. So it's like, now do I have my own assumptions? 1,000%. As far as confirmation, I don't know. But I'm like, y'all do y'all's thing, honey. I'm going to be over here.
And the internet sleuths out there, especially reality TV internet sleuths, nothing stays a secret. Nothing.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe just play your game better. I don't know.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much. I mean, it is not a surprise at all that you are such a fan favorite this season. And like I said, I know things didn't work out in a marriage, but I feel like you still learned so many valuable life lessons. And like I said, soulmates in a different way. So tell my listeners what's next for you, where they can find your podcast, where they can follow along and listen.
Yes, absolutely. And once again, I appreciate it so much. I enjoyed, and I'm finally glad that we worked this out. Thank goodness. But it was a pleasure. And you all can find me on Empowered Pod. So that's my podcast. It's called Empowered, the letter M. And then also Beauty by B, which on Instagram is beauty_Brittany Mills.
Love you.
Bye, baby. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks again, you guys, for hanging out. Another episode of MPT. I also just want to say thank you so much to everyone who has subscribed to the Patreon. I did not expect you guys to really show up the way that you did. I was expecting like 10 people to join, but I've had more than 10 people join, which is a great thing. So if you want MPT episodes every single day, if you're a Spotify listener, if you sign up for the Patreon, you can get it on Spotify. You can also watch on Patreon. We do Bravo, Bachelor, Bachelor, Survivor, celebrities, and pop culture. And if you want all of it, Love You Like a Sister is the one for you. So make sure you subscribe. The link is in the show notes below. Leave a review, a little 5-star boop boop, a little Love You Like a Sis, and I'll see you back next week, because I do. Love you like a sis.
A Huda Media Production.